Hi there. This is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly podcast. For more information about First Baptist Tulsa, check us out on the web, tulsafbc.org. First Baptist Tulsa has a simple mission: to glorify God in all we do. We want to make God look good because He is good. May God bless you with His goodness this week. This morning, Chris Matthews is going to come.
So let's open God's Word to Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
So this morning we are continuing a teaching series on stress. And just to remind you, my working definition of stress is pretty simple. It's the wear and tear of daily life. So it would be meaningless for me to promise, hey, if you listen to this teaching series, you can live a stress-free life, because there is no such thing as a stress-free life. We all have that wear and tear of daily life. But whereas we can't have freedom from stress, we can experience freedom within the experience of stress. Stress is going on around us, but God has promised us something called peace, and we're going to take a look at that this morning. Now, I want to be very clear. This is not a psychological study on stress. This is a scriptural study on stress. And this is a spiritual examination of stress. But when science has something to offer, I think it would be foolish not to see what it could bring to bear on this topic. So this morning, I'm going to bring you three psychological terms, all right? And relax, because they're all pretty simple, okay? The first term is stressor. A stressor is external, and a stressor is a demand or a change leveraged by life. So here comes life, and it poses a demand or a change on you. Now, a stressor can be good and bad. It can be anything from that irritating person to that new romance. It can be anything from losing your job to getting a great job, okay? But it's external, a demand or a change brought on by life. So a stressor is external. Stress is internal. It is your reaction, your response to that stressor. And you all know what it feels to experience stress. Again, that can be good or bad. But between the two, a stressor is external, stress is internal. Between the two is something called an explanatory style. And it is exactly what it sounds like. We all have a way of explaining the world to ourselves. We're all talking to ourselves all the time. We're interpreting the world around us. And this conversation you're having with yourself about the stressors that can produce stress is called an explanatory style. And let me give you just a simple illustration. Let's say your child turns 16 years old. They're driving for the first time. You know they're out on the road somewhere, and the phone rings, and it's them on caller ID. So at that moment, you may explain that that telephone ring is the stressor, by the way. You see their name on caller ID, and you think to yourself, they've been in a wreck. And so you pick up the phone. Are you okay? Or you can say, well, they're just calling to check in. They're a good, responsible teenager. So they're calling to check in. Hey, what's going on? What you tell yourself about that telephone ring is called your explanatory style. Okay. The thing is, your explanatory style happens so frequently and so fast that you might not even be aware that it's going on. But it is. You are constantly explaining the world to yourself, and as you interpret these stressors, it can create more stress. Here's what I really want to get you to see. All these stressors, they can't cause stress in your life. The only person that can cause stress in you is you. The only cause of stress. So legitimately, you can't look at anybody else and say, you're stressing me out. The only person that's stressing you out is you. Get this. Peaceful people don't have fewer problems. Peaceful people just look at the world differently. And stress is something. If I could have you remember one statement this morning, this would be it. Stress does not happen to you as much as stress happens within you. Stress does not happen to you as much as it is happening on the inside of you. So I grew up watching Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner. I know probably a lot of you did. Chuck Jones is the creator of the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. And when he released his autobiography, he shared, and in fact he shared a little piece of paper, he has 9 rules that would guide every Roadrunner and Coyote story, okay, Wile E. Coyote. These 9 rules would dictate every episode. And I've never seen this list of rules until just recently, but as I flash back to my childhood, he follows every one of these rules in every episode. Here's one rule. One rule is the Roadrunner can't hurt Wile E. Coyote. The only thing the Roadrunner can say is, that's right. Okay, so obviously you watched it too, right? Another rule is whenever possible, gravity is to be the coyote's worst enemy. Okay, you can see him running off the edge of the cliff, and there's just that knowing look. He just looks at the camera, and then his body falls out from under him, and his head stays there for just a few minutes, and it's gone. Okay, so gravity is his worst enemy. Here's one of the other rules, and this is the one I find most fascinating. The coyote can stop anytime he wants to. There's nothing forcing him to chase the Roadrunner. He is just driven by this internal compulsion, but he can stop anytime he wants to. Listen, if stress really is happening in you more than it's happening to you, you can stop anytime you want to. You can decide to no longer live a life of stress. You can change. What it requires, I believe, is you really getting in tune with your explanatory style, to study yourself. Say, how am I explaining the world around me to myself? And then once you study yourself, once you hear your own voice, you submit that voice to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We are not meant to live under stress. We are meant to live under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So Philippians 4 is a very powerful passage. Philippians 4, and it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. By the way, what a great explanatory style. What a great way to live life. That you live a life of joy. Now, this is not a shallow joy. This is not a joy where you paint on the church smile even though your life is falling apart and you just kind of grin and bear it. This is a deep, abiding sense that no matter what is going on in the swirl and whirl of events around me, God is right here in the middle of this with me. The Lord is near me. So a few years ago, Jeff and I did probably one of the toughest memorial services we've ever done for an entire family. It's a missionary family, a mother and father, 2 children who were killed in an automobile accident. We did their funeral here in this place, and the man, the leader of the family, was a native German, and so he had this phrase that he would use. He knew this little turn of phrase that he grew up learning in Germany, and whenever he would sign a letter, he would use this phrase, stiff ears, stiff ears. And it's a phrase taken from raising dogs, that when a dog hears the voice of his master, the ears go up. Stiff ears. And it's the idea that in any circumstances, you and I can hear the voice of God. Stiff ears. And because we're listening to him, even if the moment is stressful, we can experience joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. The Lord is near. Now what follows is really a go-to verse for a lot of Christians, especially young Christians dealing with anxiety. Here's what Philippians 4 says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For our purposes this morning, the three words I want to focus on are in that second line: in every situation. This is an all-encompassing statement. So wherever you are, whatever your stressors are today, whatever stress you're inflicting on yourself, so whatever you're experiencing, in every situation. And you'll never believe what the Greek phrase is for that. In Greek, it literally says, in every situation, all right? That's it. There's nothing left out of that. In every situation. So let me give you some big picture ideas here, okay? In every situation, you can choose stress or you can choose peace. In every situation, you have the opportunity to choose stress or choose peace. The word that's used here for anxious, it's the Greek word merimnete, which means to divide the mind. Worry is a distraction. And it's the same Greek word that shows up in Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more important than food, the body more important than clothes. You see what Jesus does there? He doesn't give us a suggestion. He gives us a command. And we have the choice in every situation whether or not to be obedient to him or not, to choose stress or to choose peace. It's up to you in every situation. So now let me be very practical here. Each week as we talk about stress, I don't want to keep it theoretical. I want to bring it down to where we really live. As a pastoral counselor, when people come into my office, many times shut the door, one of the core issues I see stressing people out is they've got somebody in their life that they just can't please. They've got somebody in their life that they're trying so hard to please and just can't seem to do it. It may be parents. Could be a spouse, could be a boss, could be a friend, but they're trying everything to please this person and just can't figure out how. And this produces a lot of stress. So I love the illustration of a bag of popcorn. Take a bag of popcorn, Orville Redenbacher, throw it in the microwave, push 2 minutes. It's going to pop that bag of popcorn, but you pull it out, and guess what? Without exception, every bag of popcorn I've popped, I've opened it up, and there's always a few unpopped kernels in the bottom. You know what? You can pop those kernels. If you leave that bag of popcorn in the microwave long enough, they will eventually pop, but the bad news is it will burn up the other contents of the bag. You will destroy more than you will create. Listen, there are some people in this world, they are just tough kernels. And they will never warm up to you. And you might be wearing yourself out trying to please them. The problem is you're just going to burn yourself out in the process. So where do we draw that line? How do we get beyond this stress, especially if you're a people pleaser? How do we get beyond this? I think it's helpful to go back to the simple realities. Jesus said, here are the two great commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So typically, those two commandments work together, but there will be times that those two commandments conflict, they contradict, and you need to make a decision. Are you going to live your life in obedience to God or to live your life trying to look for the approval of other people? Because those two commandments, love the Lord your God, that comes first. And so what we have to do is we have to let that go. God, I'm going to serve you the best I know how today. And if that pleases some, great. And if it doesn't please other people, that's okay too. But I'm looking to obedience more than I'm looking for approval. Women, here's where I think you bear a very unique burden in our culture. Because you know how the culture values women? Here's what it says. You need to do two things. You need to be skinny and you need to live in a hurry. You need to always be shrinking, and you always need to be doing more. Okay, and that cultural expectation of being skinny and being busy is driving you up a wall. Maybe you would surrender that cultural expectation and say, you know what? I'm not going to live in competition. I'm not going to live under the weight of those expectations. I'm going to do today only what God has called me to do. In every situation, you can choose peace or stress, one or the other. So let me give you another real high-level idea based here on Philippians chapter 4. And it would be this. Stress can kill prayer, or stress can create an opportunity for prayer. Okay? Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. Stress can kill your prayer life, or it can create an opportunity to advance your prayer life. Okay? So let's go back to the explanatory style. We're all always talking to ourselves all the time. Okay? Hopefully, you're doing that silently. But we do have a staff member on staff here who is known for just talking to himself. He's walking down the corridor. I've run into him more than once. He's just talking out loud to himself. I will not tell you who this is, Jeff Elkins, our minister of worship. I hear him coming down the hall, and I think he's talking to somebody, deep conversation. It's just him, right? By the way, Jeff turned 54 years old this week. Happy birthday, Jeff. Yeah. To celebrate, he got a tattoo. It says AARP right on the back here, right next to the unicorn tattoo. It looks good. I like that. All right. You know it's biblical to talk to yourself? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You're talking to yourself, telling yourself, bless the Lord. All right. So we all have this explanatory style. We all have this conversation going on in our head. And have you ever been so busy in your mind, okay, that you're talking to yourself so much that somebody could be right next to you talking and you don't even hear them? Why? Because you're inside your own head too much. You know what? You can get so busy inside your own head, you cannot even hear the voice of God. Worry, stress can kill prayer, or worry and stress can create the opportunity for prayer. You're already talking to yourself anyway. Follow me here. You're already talking to yourself anyway. Why don't you just include God in the conversation that's already going on in your head? You don't have to worry what to pray about. You don't have to worry what to say to God. You're already talking. Just say, God, I need you in on this conversation as well. What do I do in this? What do I feel in this situation? Help me out here. Listen, we all know people who post way too much on Facebook. Here's my encouragement on prayer. Instead of oversharing on Facebook, take that and share that with God first. Share that with God before you put it on Facebook. Because if you put it on Facebook, it's a cry for attention. You share it with God, it's a cry for intimacy. We have this stuff going on in our head already. Let's just involve God in that conversation. So worry and stress can kill prayer, or it can create the very opportunity for prayer. So, stress is a choice. Peace is a choice in every situation. In every situation, stress can kill prayer, or stress can create the opportunity for prayer. One more really big idea here, and this is where I'm going to come back and land on Ephesians 4 here very firmly. Notice this last sentence. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now think about this. There are two different kinds of guards. There are security guards and there are prison guards. And they do different things, don't they? Security guards keep certain people out and away. Prison guards keep certain people in. Okay? So the peace of God can guard your heart and mind, serving both purposes. Do you realize that there are some things that we don't need to think about? There are some things that we need to guard our hearts against and say, God, in order to have peace, I need you to keep that thought far away from me. And every time that thought comes to you, you let the peace of God usher it right back out. But there are also some thoughts that we need to keep close and we don't need to let go. And sometimes they try to slip away and they try to escape, and we ask God's peace to bring those back in and hold those thoughts captive right here in our hearts. So let me give you a very practical example of this. So everything you experience in life follows this trend. Listen to me. In every situation, this is every situation. This is your daily life. This cycle just repeats over and over again. And I'm grateful for Kenneth Boa, a guy who's really good at spiritual formation studies, for giving me this. Opportunity, obedience, and outcome. Every day, opportunities will come to you. Okay? Now, sometimes they're good opportunities, sometimes they're bad opportunities. But they come to your life. They come into your life. Then you have the choice, given whatever that opportunity is, to act in obedience to God. And then, due to your obedience or lack of obedience or circumstances beyond your control, there's an outcome. Now, just stop and think for just a moment. Look at the first word and the last word. What they have in common is we focus on these all the time. We obsess over what opportunities are going to come our way. We are consumed with what outcomes are going to happen next. We lay awake at night, unsure of what's going to happen tomorrow, or unsure of the outcomes of what we currently face. And we are consumed in worry and stress over the opportunities and the outcomes. Do you realize that's something we probably need to let the peace of God guard our hearts from? Keep them away from me. I can't control those things by being stressed about them. The only thing I can control is that middle word. Will I be obedient? Whatever the opportunity might be, whatever the outcome may come to pass, will I be obedient? And these are the things I need to keep in my heart so that I always try to put God first and leave the results up to Him in every situation. So the media says that there's a conspiracy going on at Starbucks, that if you walk into Starbucks, say your name, that they will deliberately misspell your name on the cup. So that when you go to work later on that morning, you'll say, you'll never believe what these guys at Starbucks, how they spelled my name. And what you're doing is you're giving free advertising to Starbucks, them showing this cup. I went a few weeks ago and they spelled my name with a Y. There is no Y in Darren. In whatever universe, I don't know where they came, but it worked. I went to work and go, look at the Y in my name. I'm passing around. So I'm in Starbucks last week and four baristas were behind the counter. It was dead. I was the only person in the place. And I said, listen, I hear there's a conspiracy going on. I explained the conspiracy. All of them looked at me and said, there is no conspiracy. There is no conspiracy, which confirmed it in my mind. I mean, if there were really a conspiracy, would they tell me? I said, y'all just solidified it. There's a conspiracy going on here. Listen, God's not out to play tricks with you and me. He knows your name. He knows exactly who you are and what you're going through. He knows every opportunity. He knows every outcome. None of it will be a surprise to Him. What He asks for is you to focus on this one thing. Be obedient to me. No matter what circumstances I send your way or the outcomes that result, in every situation, choose obedience. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.